And let's see, what John failed to mention is that Steve plays a mean left field. He actually grew up at a small church that didn't have a softball team. By the way, this chapel was the preeminent team. I mean, for years. There should be really a plaque here because you won more championships than anybody else. Steve ended up, defecting and playing for a small church, Kearney Bible Chapel, I believe it was, if I'm correct on that. I don't know where you're right. And he played a very, very intense left field. So as much as I appreciate and love him as a brother, I wasn't so crazy about playing against him on the other side. Very good. This morning, I'd like to encourage you to open with me, please, in your Bibles to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Last week, Dan Mearns had the opportunity to share out a little bit of the parable of the sower. And I'd like to continue a little bit on this theme. The Lord Jesus had the opportunity to speak from Peter's boat. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that it was sort of like a theater for him, that he would push her out by the boat and that he had the opportunity to teach the masses. And he was the great teacher. He was the great teacher because he communicated so well with the different kinds of hearts. And that parable that he shared was the parable of the sower. It's the parable of the sower because it's a time of grace. That is, the sower goes forth to sow. You could step back and you could say, well, isn't this a waste of the seed? I mean, all this seed is scattered all over the place. But it's a time of grace that the parable of the sower speaks, that God is going to share seed that spills on the hard, beaten down ground. And he's going to share seed that falls amongst the thorns and amongst the rocks and on good soil too. And during that particular episode, the Lord says one very powerful remark. It's in Mark's Gospel and chapter 4, and he says it, I believe, in verse 23. He says to them in Mark's Gospel chapter 4, verse 23, he says, if anyone has ears to hear, I want you to hear this. That's a little bit of an odd or strange thing, isn't it? If you have ears to hear, I want you to hear this. What exactly does that mean? You know, I grew up going to Scotch Plains Fanwood High School, and I sat in a world history class with a tremendously boring, intellectually high-leveled, educating teacher. All he did was sit and talk. He didn't even leave the building for fire drills. He was so heavy set. And we would go in there, and over here you would have kids doing their math homework, and these girls would be doing their French homework, and these kids would be looking at... Nobody was really hearing any of it. You'd stop and you'd listen. Oh, sure, there's words coming at you. But if you were honest with yourself, you would say, nobody really hears any of the words that the teacher happens to be saying. The Lord Jesus on this particular time said, look, I want you to hear this. I don't want you to just think that this is background noise or this is just some kind of a dull routine or some kind of a slavish obligation. These are the words of the living God. I want you to hear. He who has ears to hear, I want you to hear. This morning, I want us to hear this particular passage of what God is saying to each one of us. Because God's word is very vibrant and it is life-changing. So when the Lord Jesus was done having the chance to share with them about the parable of the sower, he says, look, we're going to go on to the other side. So I want to pick up the reading in verse 35, please. We read, on the same day, when evening had come, he said to them explicitly, let us cross over to the other side. And when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Then he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? We want to just sort of set the tone here a bit, right? Because we know that in our lives, storms come. As a matter of fact, the great message that the Lord gave was, in this world, there's going to be tribulation. That's what he said. He said, in this world, there will be trouble. For sure there will be trouble. But then, I do believe with a smile, he said, be of good cheer. That phrase he said more than any other phrase that's recorded in the Word of God. Be of good cheer. He said, I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. I want you to take comfort in that. Now, there's physical storms, right? And when Sandy came and struck and houses landed on, trees landed on houses, we slept in the basement. Who slept in their basement with hurricanes? It was just the Shetlicks. Everybody else had it together, huh? Okay, we slept in the basement during that time. Cool. And knocked out the power, right? A little storm. Newark Airport's grounded. Everybody's in panic. Like God whips up a storm like you and I make iced tea. Hurricane Sandy. But Hurricane Sandy sort of gives way a little bit to financial storms. They're tough. Standing in an unemployment line, that's hard. That's harder than Sandy. It's hard to stand there and deal with a job coach. He's going to teach you how to shake hands. And you say, look, I'm a college graduate. I know how to shake your hand. And that sort of even gives way to physical storms, because that's real. Going to the doctor and the doctor walking in and saying, okay, what is your pain? On a scale of 1 to 10. Say, look, I don't know. It's enough that it brings me here, right? 1 to 10. 10. And as far as emotional storms, they're probably the worst. The emotional storms, those storms that affect the heart, the brokenness of relationships. And those storms are real. And the Lord knows all about those storms, clearly. But I want you to know that the storm gives opportunity for us to embrace fear and be part of the confusion, or it allows us to embrace faith and to be part of the solution. It does. The fear, it hijacks our minds. And the fear controls our thoughts. And the fear allows our voices, our minds, to listen to all different kinds of voices. It's so true. So how does he react in the storm? I mean, it's beautiful. It really is. How does he react in the storm? Well, we read it. It says, during the great windstorm arose, the waves beat into the boat, verse 37. The boat is filling with water. Their hearts are filling with fear. Where is he? Verse 38. He's asleep. He's asleep on a pillow. Do you notice the details that Mark's gospel gives to us? The details that Mark's gospel gives to us. He's asleep in the stern on a pillow. Friends, I've heard scores of sermons that suggest he's asleep because he was exhausted. Okay. Sure. He was exhausted. He taught all day. The teachers. But maybe he was asleep because he was at peace with the storm. I wonder, when did he fall asleep? Before the storm? Or did he fall asleep after the storm? You know, it doesn't really matter. What matters is he's at peace with the storm. The storm doesn't bother him. Storm bothers me. The storm bothers me. I guess I like to control things, you know. I want to chart it all out and plan it all out. And I got it all organized. And this is where you need to be at this particular time. And this is where my salary is supposed to be at this particular juncture of my career. I'll control. The storm sort of takes away all that control. It sort of shows where I'm a little bit lacking in faith. It does. Storms look different than my storms. They do. There's different lessons that we have to learn. He's not bothered by this storm. He's at peace with the storm. Can I suggest to you that the storms that happen in my life, if the Lord Jesus Christ is not bothered by them. I don't want to be bothered by them. I don't want to be bothered by them. If he's at peace with it, I want to be at peace with it. Now you might say, well then, what is he ever going to be bothered by then? Do you know in Romans chapter 1, it says this. It says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. What does that mean? It means that Jesus Christ is angry at the things that he sees here. He's angry at the things that he sees here. There's things that clearly anger him today. Yes, I want those things to anger me too. I want those things to trouble me too. But he's asleep. He's asleep. And the Bible tells us that they go and they wake him up. How do they do that? How would you do that? Tell me about how, like, you wake people up. You know, growing up in my house, you wake people up, like, through banging of pots and pans. Will you get up? Maybe in your house it's through a whisper. I don't know. I don't really like the whisper. That's no good either, you know. It makes a little bit of noise. How do you think they woke him up? Who do you think woke him up? I mean, who would be, like, authorized to do this? Excuse me. Sorry to bother you. There's a storm going on. Do you think he woke up and said, oh, there's a storm? Whoa. I think he knew all about the storm. As a matter of fact, I think he authorized the storm. That's what I think. I think that he authorized the storm. And they woke him up. And I want you to notice that they say a very interesting phrase. And in this great panic, they say a very interesting phrase. They say, don't you care? Do you notice that? Verse 38. Teacher, they call him teacher. By the way, that's the first mention of the word teacher in the gospel according to Mark. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Don't you care? Have you ever said that? Lord, don't you care about the brokenness in my family? Or don't you care about this unemployment? Or don't you care about this health concern? There's panic. There's real fear. And friends, these were fishermen. These were learned men. They were. Now, sure, I can say that because today it's like 60 degrees outside and I'm standing on dry ground here. You know, Mike shared some stories about being in the storm and the brutality of all of it. And there's all kinds of emotions that rivet through you. I get all that. They wake him up. They say, don't you care? We're perishing. We're perishing. In like 15 minutes, we're going to be at the bottom of this lake. I do believe that when they woke him up, they wanted very much for him to do something in his humanity. Listen, grab a bucket, would you? Start bailing. Or would you grab an oar? I mean, you got to do something. Get busy. There's panic here. There's panic. The Lord Jesus on this day, he's not going to give them the best of his humanity. He's not going to show them how he's going to row or a bucket that he's going to bring. As a matter of fact, if you noticed, it says that they took him just as he was. We did read that. They took him just as he was. He wasn't carrying a bucket. There wasn't an oar that he was bringing. Don't you care? We're going to perish. Get up and get busy. Give us the best that you got. Friends, he was going to show them his power. He was going to show them the divine side of who he is. He was going to show them his authority. He was going to rebuke the wind and the waves just like he rebuked that little girl's fever. He was going to do that. He was going to rebuke the wind and the waves just like he was going to rebuke the man who was possessed by all of those devils. And so the Bible says that he's going to show them his power. And he cried out, "Peace be still." And there was a great calm. That's what it says here. He rebuked the winds and he rebuked the waves. And he said, "Peace be still. Peace." Oh, we live in a world today that really wants it, right? That really wants it. We want it in our world. We heard about ballistic missiles being fired off this past week. And we do want peace in our schools, and we want peace in our neighborhoods, and we want peace in our families. We want peace in our own hearts and in our own lives. The Lord never said there's going to be peace in this world. Not until he comes as a supreme leader. There'll be peace then, but that's not today. It says that the Lord Jesus today sits at the right hand of the throne of God, but he doesn't stay there forever. It says he sits at the right hand of the throne of God until what? Until he makes his enemies his footstool. How is he going to do that? He's going to do it by force. And then he's going to set up a beautiful kingdom. And this world will be at peace. It will be at peace. Because the Prince of Peace is going to reign here. For 1,000 years he will. Today he promises peace for the believer. Peace through the storms. Today what he asks or what he says is, he says, "Take my yoke upon you. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened. And learn about me. And take my yoke upon you. And learn about me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart. You will find rest." That's a promise he gave. You will find rest unto your souls. I'm learning that. Because it's easy in my life to just sort of scurry around and fix it myself. And find that, look, I can handle this. When in reality, I can't really handle this. Do you know that the storms of our lives, they really bring out a lot of our character. They really show who we really are. I'm the youngest of 4 boys. And Dad, if we could do it, then we wouldn't pay for it. So we changed our own motor oil. We cut our own lawn and shoveled, sadly, our own snow. That would have been me. We did our own income tax return, all that. And there was a tree that was in the backyard, and the tree had to come down. It was dead, and it was big enough that it was cumbersome, and it was by the fence, by the neighbor, anyway, we had this whole thing aligned, all these educated men, all these educated, you know, spiritual men, and my brother Tom, he was sort of the first one in the line of the rope pullers. And when the tree broke, it was breaking towards the neighbor's yard, over the neighbor's fence, into the neighbor's swing set. And he would cry out, "Everybody, you gotta pull." And my brother Tim, he would be at the end of the rope. He would be saying, "Look, why don't you just shut up? What do you think I'm doing here?" Sort of see how, like, this kind of stress brings out the personality of who you are. It does. The Lord in this account, he says to the winds and the waves, he says, "Peace be still." And there's a great calm. And he shows them his deity. He shows them that he is the Prince of Peace. That's something that we all do struggle with. And that's something that I do pray in this new year that we would get a little better at. That I would get a little better at, that there would be an opportunity for me to pause. One of the chapel's goals is that we spend a little time in prayer. Okay, so if I ask you honestly, how are you doing in that in the new year? Not judgmentally, but just being honest, and that we would spend a little bit of time in God's Word. So how am I doing in that? That we would do that, and that we would find that when we leave that time of worship, of reverence, of respect, that there's opportunity for us to find peace. To find peace with the trouble of the illness or with the unemployment. To find peace with the turmoil that the world has to offer. Peace be still. And then there's there's a great calm. I want you to know that usually during the storm, it's the rain stops first. And the waves, it takes a long time for the waves to catch up. But when he said, peace be calm, peace be still, there was a great calm. It was a great calm. And I want you to notice what their reaction was. They said in verse 41, they feared exceedingly. Friends, they were afraid. They were afraid of the storm, but now they're afraid. It's godly fear. They feared exceedingly, verse 41 says, and they said amongst themselves, who is this? Who is this that even the winds and the waves, they listen to him? Now, I've been listening to this story for a long time, for years and years. And so it gets sort of casual. But just take this today freshly. Who is this? Who is this Lord of glory that even the winds, that even the waves listen to him? Who is this in our midst that can do something like this? Who is this that can then cast out these devils and opened up blind eyes? Who is this who teaches about forgiveness? And who is this ultimately who is going to have the chance to go to the cross and make peace with a holy God? Who is this? They were exceedingly afraid. Before the storm, sure. And after the storm, yeah. There's a casualness. If I'm honest with myself, there's a casualness in my life with a routine. Coming here on Sunday, and then going to get something to eat. A casualness with sort of the way that I approach this Jesus of Nazareth. You know, this, I don't want to say obligation, but sort of this routine. That's a comfortable word, this routine. And some dear friends of mine say, you know, there's sort of casualnesses in our churches. And so we've decided that we're going to introduce, when the pastor comes forward, we're going to introduce like some of these, you know, lights and smoke and all of these things. I'm not judging the smoke machine. But I'll tell you, if you and I caught a glimpse of this Lord of glory, and I wouldn't need all of this external. I wouldn't need it. He would be enough. He'd be enough. His word would be enough. We're going to go to the other side. Well, they didn't have that kind of faith. They were afraid. And they thought they were going down with the boat. Standing on the promises, right? So what are some of those promises? What is a promise that I can, like, stand on today? Well, one of those promises is this. The New Testament says that he who has begun a good work in you, the Bible says he's going to finish that work. That's what God says. He who has begun a good work in you, he's going to finish that work. God's not done with you. Otherwise, he'd take you right to heaven if you know and love Jesus. God's not done with me. And to me, friends, that's very comforting to know that God isn't finished with me. Because sometimes I'm finished with me. A lot of times I'm finished with me. But he's not finished with me. That's one of his promises. And I love that promise because he hasn't given up on me. And he hasn't given up on you. And the reason that we are still here is the great work that he's making us to be more like his lovely son. That's the great work. How does he do that? Well, he exposes the lack of our faith and he brings various things into our lives. They're all authorized. You say, God, why this storm? The storm in your life, it's authorized. Every wave is authorized. He knows all about your storm. It's all authorized. It's all authorized. Now, he does mention to them, some heavy words. These are pretty heavy words. It's in verse 40. After he calms the winds and the waves, he says to them, why are you so fearful? See that? Why are you so troubled? That's a good question for me. Why am I so troubled? What exactly is it that is sort of knocking me off the rails and causing all of the fear and listening to all the external voices and not standing on the promise of God? The promise that says that our lives, my life, is hidden with God in Christ. And when Christ, who is my life, shall appear, so shall I appear with him in glory. This is not the place. When Christ, who is my life? Is Christ my life? Or are my kids my life? Or is my 403B my life? Or am I knocked off the rails because, what? You fill it in. God says, when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then you'll appear with him in glory. Oh, those are great truths. So this is very personal to me. It bothers me, and I want it to bother you too. Why are you so fearful, he says. How is it that you have no faith? How is it that you have no faith? Lord, I want my faith to grow. I want to take a step to grow. When I can't control it, when I don't have all of the answers, because you do. You do have all of those answers. And you have made those great promises. Now, in the time that we have left, I'd like to just mention one or two other thoughts on this passage, and then there's one other passage I like to look to. Verse 36, it's a very interesting verse to me. And now when they left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him, other little ships. What is that about? There's other little ships. There's no detail given to these other little boats. The Lord Jesus is not in these other little boats, these other lesser vessels. These other lesser vessels, they're going through the storm too. I guess that teaches me that I'm not the only one who's going through the storm. There's other people that are going through the storm. It's not just about me. And I sort of see these other lesser vessels as an opportunity for discipleship here. And I was briefly talking to Greg about this, about these lesser vessels. These lesser vessels, what does it mean? Does it mean that, you know, the Lord isn't riding on this boat at a particular time? But what could it mean? Well, maybe it means that in my life, there are people who are not quite as focused on the Lord. There are people who are not quite as in love with the Lord. There are people who maybe casually come to the Lord. How are the people in my life supposed to make it if I'm falling apart? So I can be in my life part of the problem and add to the confusion, especially for these lesser vessels. Or I can be part of the solution and identify the faith that says, he promised, let's cross over to the other side. Friends, so many people are counting on you if you know and love Jesus, because you carry this blessed treasure in this earthen vessel with you to your jobs and in your homes and in your communities. People are counting on you and me to be able to be the one to walk into the deep water for people, to stand in their storm, as it were, or to be able to bring clarity to the storm instead of being the person who sort of adds confusion to the storm. I have a choice. You do too. Whether or not my life is going to be one of faith this week or one of fear this week. Am I going to be a godly example in the storm? Am I going to stand on the promises of God in the storm? As the storm is going to affect my family and this church family? Or am I going to sort of overreact? I don't blame them. I overreact. I love that piece in the Old Testament of those priests, and they, They carried the most holy piece of furniture that Israel had. It was the Ark of the Covenant, and it was a box, and not just a box, I know, but in the box was the Ten Commandments and Aaron's rod and the pot of manna. And when the River Jordan overflowed all of its banks, Joshua called the priests. He said, call those priests and they're going to walk out into this flood. They walked into the flood for the whole country, the whole nation. Those guys, their feet hit the water. They carried the ark and they exalted the ark. And they stood in the River Jordan, and the river had built up like a wall. And that whole nation passed by on dry ground. It's incredible to me. It's incredible to me, right? All those big macho guys, they walked by. And the women and the children walked through. And at the end, the blind and the lame, they walked through. They were the first ones into the flood. They were the last ones out of the flood. They knew exactly what to do. It was an act of faith. It's an act of faith for me too. I want to be prepared to walk into the flood of my brother and my sister. I want to be prepared to walk into the flood of my family and not bring confusion and not bring fear and not bring trouble, but rather to stand and to listen to what the word and the promise of God is. Now, the piece that I'm not going to get to, but I would love for you as a teacher, I'll give you this as a homework assignment. That's the joke. In the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul is in a terrible storm. It's in the book of Acts. And the Bible tells us that the Apostle Paul is going to Rome, and he's going to Rome to be executed. And while he's being transported to Rome, there's a tremendous storm. It's not a storm that comes out of the blue like this. I mean, it's a storm that's there for days and days, and they throw the cargo overboard. And the Apostle Paul tells the leaders, he says, look, this is what we need to do. No, we're not going to go that way. And so the whole ship is going to break apart, and there's nobody is going to be able to survive this. And he stops everyone. He says, listen to me. Listen to me. This is the promise that was given by God. I want you to eat. Not a hair of your head is going to be burdened or lost. I want you to pay attention to me. He acted in faith, and he saved that whole crew. And then, ironically enough, he went to Rome to face really the execution that was before him a couple years later. So I'm really encouraged. I'm encouraged in this new year that we have opportunities to stand in faith and to listen to the word of God and to stand on his promises. And when he says, you're as good as on the other side, that I believe that. And that I don't go all to pieces. And that I don't, in my frustration, say, don't you care? Because he knows all about it. He knows all about your storm. And praise God, he is in control. Now, I'm probably not going to be able to get this black book hymn verse correct, but there's this, well, I guess every one of these songs has this, right? About the peace that comes from God. I lost it. We're going to close with a word of prayer. I want you to be encouraged. And I want us all to stand on the promise of God. I want you to stand on the promise of God that in this world, there's going to be trouble. This week, there's going to be trouble. Be of good cheer. The Lord has overcome the world. Be of good cheer. The Lord is on the throne. Be of good cheer. And let the Lord of glory show and teach all of us how wonderful, filled with wonder, he truly is. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for your lovely Son. We thank you that your word teaches us that he is holy and harmless and undefiled and separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens. We thank you so much that he came here on this rescue mission, that we can be called the sons and daughters of the living God. And I do pray for all of us that we would step out in faith and that we would stand on his promise. And that he is in control of our lives and that he authorizes all of the storms so that our faith can grow. And I pray, Lord, that our faith would grow as we have the opportunity to appreciate him more. For we would ask it in Jesus' name.